You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Writing is on the Wall. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
The handwriting is on the wall. These words, which are used so often in secular circles, and this expression implying bold and warning words on a bare surface, come from the Bible. The expression, the handwriting is on the wall, usually means that a powerful and important warning has been publicly given and that an unusual and sometimes disastrous event will soon take place. There is now a growing number of people, both in the United States and Canada, who have observed the breakdown of our society and our culture. They have witnessed the erosion of our values, and they are now convinced that unless some radical changes are made soon, God's judgment is imminent and disaster is inevitable. There are more and more people today who believe that for our nation, the handwriting is on the wall. And now, since this expression originated in the Bible, and since more and more people are beginning to see a connection between what happened in the Bible and what is now happening in our present society, let's look briefly at that biblical and historical event where the handwriting was on the wall. In the Bible, in the book of Daniel chapter 5, we read that the king of Babylon, Belshazzar, held a great feast in his palace at Babylon. And for this special occasion, the king had invited 1,000 people, his nobles, his wives, and his concubines. The Bible says that King Belshazzar was drinking wine in the presence of the thousand. We can well imagine that the palace was filled with loud voices, drinking, singing, and great merriment. The party then reached such an emotional high that King Belshazzar set aside all restraints of common sense. And in a foolish move, he sent for the sacred cups and bowls, which had been plundered years before from the Jerusalem temple. The king did this, the Bible says, so that he, his nobles, and his wives, and his concubines might drink the party wine from these sacred vessels. But that's not all. King Belshazzar then made an even more foolish, and some might even say a very stupid, decision. The king and his associates drank party wine from God's sacred vessels, but then they also praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. At this point, the party merriment had surely reached a stage of uncontrolled frenzy. Then, suddenly, however, something very, very unusual took place. The fingers of a man's hand, the Bible tells us, emerged and began writing on the wall of the king's palace. And when the king saw this mysterious handwriting on the wall, according to the Bible, his face grew pale and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack and his knees began knocking together. Just imagine, just seconds ago, the large banquet hall was surely ringing with laughter and merriment and loud singing and vigorous dancing, but now it was suddenly silent. The king was greatly disturbed. He did not know what to do. What might this handwriting on the wall mean? The Bible says the king called aloud for specialists and interpreters of dreams. He spoke to these wise men of Babylon and said, "Any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me will be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and have authority as third ruler in the kingdom." This wealthy king was now obviously desperate. He was now going to use his wealth to try to buy his way out of a fear-filled predicament. For this king, the handwriting was indeed on the wall. But then, according to the Bible, all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the inscription. They tried desperately, but they could not make known its interpretation to the king. Then the Bible says that this alarmed Belshazzar even more. His face grew even more pale, and his nobles were confused. At that very moment of suspense, the queen entered the banquet room. She told the king, "Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man," she said, "in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods." Then the queen told King Belshazzar that a man named Daniel would be able to interpret the handwriting on the wall. So then the king summoned Daniel. He offered him gifts for the correct interpretation of this handwriting. "Keep your gifts for yourself," Daniel said to the king. "Give your rewards to somebody else. However, I will read the inscription and make the interpretation known." But before Daniel interpreted the mysterious handwriting on the wall, he first reminded King Belshazzar of the great punishment that God had sent upon a previous king named Nebuchadnezzar because of his wickedness and his pride. Then Daniel turned to Belshazzar and said, "Even though you have known all of this, you have not humbled your heart." Instead, Daniel said to the king, "You have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. You have brought the vessels of his house before you. You have been drinking wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. But the God in whose hand are your life, breath, and your ways, you have not glorified." And then, after this scathing introduction of judgment, Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall. Turning to King Belshazzar, Daniel said, "The handwriting on the wall means that God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. You have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians." Oh, now King Belshazzar became an even greater fool. Even though he had been warned, he did not take the warning seriously. Therefore, the Bible says, that same night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain and his kingdom was conquered. Now, this true story of Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall is more than mere interesting reading. It packs a powerful message and an ominous warning for our nation even today. It is not only the religious kooks who are raising the flag of caution in our society, and it's not only the clergy who are saying that the handwriting of judgment is on the wall for our nation. Other greatly respected and highly positioned men in government authority have been sounding the alarm for some time. For example, the late chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve System, Dr. Arthur Burns, expressed his great concern that many children who are now being brought up in well-to-do families are turning to crime. This well-known government leader, a man who had advised U.S. Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Nixon, and Carter, expressed his serious concern that the family is breaking down and that there is less and less trust in the family, in the school, in the government, and yes, even in the church. And even this powerful economist could see that for our nation, the handwriting is on the wall. Unless something is done, God's judgment will surely come. Oh, it's so easy, and yes, it's so very convenient for all of us to look at our nation and our culture and constantly complain about our eroding national values. However, in our text for today, for the kingdom of Belshazzar, the handwriting was indeed on the wall, but the handwriting was not only on the wall for Belshazzar's kingdom. The handwriting was on the wall for Belshazzar personally. And it is the same way for all of us today. The handwriting may be on the wall warning our nation, but God's warning is also on the wall for you and me personally. If you believe that going to church is a nice and noble thing for others to do, but you yourself are not going regularly to hear God's law and gospel, then for you, the handwriting is on the wall. And if God has given you children, but you are spending most of your time selfishly serving yourself, then God's judgment will surely come. And for you, the handwriting is already on the wall. And if you have committed your money to only your needs and your desires for more things, and if you give only minimally to the work of the church and not to those in need, then for you, God is sending you a warning of love and grace. My friend, for you, the handwriting is on the wall. If we are honest, every one of us, as we look at our own lives, we must confess to the Lord the words of the psalmist. If you were to count sins, O Lord, who is there who would be able to stand? Oh, indeed, the story of Belshazzar and the prophet Daniel has so much to say to us today. It speaks to us as a nation, and it speaks to us also as individuals. And when we look with honesty, not just at the sins of our nation, but also at our own many daily failings, we are led to say with St. Paul, O wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from this mess? But it is also at that very moment when God's convicting spirit shows us that the handwriting is on the wall regarding our own personal sin, that the same gracious Spirit of God assures us of the forgiveness of our many failures. In the Bible, we read again and again how the people who were often burdened down with sin were also picked up by the ringing and life-giving gospel proclamation of the prophets and the apostles. These words continue to ring out and lift guilt-laden hearts today. Listen to God's good news of forgiveness and hope as it is proclaimed from His living Word to your heart. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet Isaiah proclaims, Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Even though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow, and even though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. God not only forgives our past failures, God also empowers us for a future life of hope. You and I, my friend, need to share the conviction of the Apostle Paul when he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. And so the question then is this, is our nation now heading down the road of judgment and doom? Well, nobody can say this for sure. However, from everything we can see, and from the opinion spoken publicly by both spiritual and secular leaders, we can say one thing for certain. The handwriting is surely on the wall. When that mysterious hand appeared on the wall in the palace of King Belshazzar, for this arrogant and obstinate leader, it was already too late. In his arrogance, the king had not only mocked God's holy things, he even praised the false gods. So then, my friend, the question is now up to you and me. When we look at our own lives and when we compare our own life to what God expects, it is not very encouraging. We fall very, very far short. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. For even though our sins and failures are many, in His grace, God is giving us another chance. Let us therefore not follow the example of King Belshazzar and arrogantly spurn the warning signs of God, but instead let us turn our hearts into sincere repentance. For when we do, then we will hear our gracious Heavenly Father say to us, Because of what my Son, the Lord Jesus, has done for you, you are forgiven. Yes, the handwriting of our sin may be displayed in a condemning way on the wall. Oh yes, it may be even displayed on the billboard of God's judgment. However, the handwriting of God's salvation and forgiveness, written in the sin-cleansing ink of the blood of Christ, wipes out all the words of condemnation and replaces them with the hope-giving words of Jesus when He says, Arise, my friend, arise, move ahead in life with hope and forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. O Lord, we pray, from our sins turn us away. And draw us forever to your loving arms of grace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.